Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your life connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Good afternoon, everybody. Today is Monday, September 29th, 2014, and you're listening to Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, and I want to welcome everybody today. We are here live with In Touch Interviews, and today I have a very wonderful guest, Pauline Valvo, and she is from the HAI Global Organization, and she is here to talk about what that organization stands for and a lot of the perks and their mission and a lot more. So without further ado, I'd like to bring Pauline on. Welcome to the show, Pauline.
Hi, thank you so much. Good afternoon or good morning, wherever your listeners are. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you so much for being here today. I greatly appreciate it. And you're from HAI Global. So would you like to tell the listeners a little bit about that and what your guys' mission and history is?
Yeah, absolutely. So the HAI stands for Human Awareness Institute. And the organization was founded in the 60s. By a man named Stan Dale, who actually was a radio announcer and was stationed in Korea during a war. And he had the opportunity to live in a geisha house and do his radio broadcasts from there. And he had an amazing experience witnessing the way people were treated with love and respect and honor, and he came back to the United States with that learning and that experience, and he was doing his talk show again in Chicago, and all these people were calling in asking him questions about sexuality, and he was told by the producers of the radio show that he couldn't air those questions, and he couldn't talk about that stuff on the air. This was in the 60s, and so he realized there was quite a yearning in our culture at that time to talk about these things. So many people curious about sexuality and relationships. And so he took those two experiences. The experiences in Japan of treating people with love and reverence and respect, and then taking all of this curiosity about sexuality and relationships, and he combined them into these workshops. The first one was done in Chicago at a hotel. He had hundreds of people show up. And so the whole organization was birthed out of those ideas and concepts. And the mission, the intention was to create a safe, approachable place for people to come explore those topics and to learn to relate to one another with reverence and honor. And so now we've been around for, you know, more than 40 years at this point and do workshops all over the world. And we now offer a variety of different workshops, but they're all around those themes of love, intimacy, sexuality, and treating people with reverence.
Wow, that's amazing. Especially the history, you know, he was in a geisha house, like, I don't think that there's a lot of people out there in the world that can say that they've had that type of experience and they've, you know, helped create an organization around that. I think that's very wonderful. Tell us a little bit about you. What is it that you do for HAI?
Well, I am currently in the training program to be a weekend workshop facilitator. At every weekend workshop, there's a male facilitator and a female facilitator. And I've been training for about 3 years now. It's quite a process. The facilitators are so phenomenal at what they do. I'm so honored to get to work with them and learn from them. And I also run the global training program. So we have a ton of volunteers, all, you know, hundreds all around the world. And so I help train them and train local leaders to lead the shorter workshops, which I also lead. We have free two-hour workshops that take place in many cities in the United States and other countries. And then we lead one-day workshops. And those shorter workshops give people a taste of what the organization's about. And they're really valuable standalone workshops. as well. So I've been doing that. I've been leading the shorter workshops since 2003, and I've been helping train volunteers for a couple of years now.
Wow. Good for you. You talk about locations and being worldwide, so is HAI Global worldwide now, or are you guys still building and growing?
Well, we're definitely building and growing. It's been a pretty organic growth process. Someone comes to the workshop, falls in love with it, gets really involved in the organization, and they decide to take it to where they live. So that's primarily how it's expanded. The organization is based in San Francisco. That's where our headquarters are. And in the United States, we have workshops in Los Angeles, also Colorado near Boulder, Michigan, kind of near Kalamazoo, and on the East Coast near Boston. And then we have a community of people in Ohio that's really active. There's a site in Toronto. So those are sort of the continental offerings. And then Australia, England, Germany, Spain, all have, the UK, all have workshops there as well. And we're always open to going to new places.
Wow. you talk about classes and workshops. What do your classes and workshops entail? I read a little bit earlier that the classes and workshops don't just entail love for other people, but I saw that there was some, I believe it was classes on, you know, working with loving yourself as well. Would you like to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so our workshops go in sequential order. So the first weekend workshop is called Love is a Miracle, and it's all about exploring, what does love mean? What does intimacy mean? What is sexuality? And exploring, first of all, what that means to you. We're not dogmatic. It's not like we sit and lecture and tell you what we think. But our workshops are experiential. So we create a place for you to come and learn and explore and experiment and figure out what is true for you. And so that first weekend workshop is kind of a broad overview of all of that, and it lets people start to explore. And we teach some ways of communicating, some ways of relating to one another from that place of reverence, of honoring one another. And I think that builds a lot of the safety in the room that enables people to open up and talk about what can be really vulnerable for a lot of people. And then once you've done that first workshop, you can move on to other workshops. And our second weekend workshop is called Loving Yourself. And all of the exercises and sharing topics and everything are centered around that. Ways to deepen into accepting yourself the way you are, loving yourself the way you are, and really beautiful, profound for a lot of people. And then we now have 9 different weekend workshops. So they all have their own theme. One is around spirituality and sexuality. One's about living at choice, where the whole weekend is around exploring, what does choice really mean? Are you really living your life at choice, or kind of on automatic pilot from your programming or previous life experiences? One's about surrender and control. Community, being the source of love. So they all kind of dive into something different. And then we have a couple different couples workshops we do too that are designed specifically for couples to come do together. So lots of offerings. It's a pretty exciting organization. And our website, hai.org, has descriptions of all the different workshops that we offer.
Now, do you find that you tend to work with people who maybe have trouble in their relationships or trouble with intimacy or, you know, are afraid of those different concepts?
We definitely get some of that. Yeah, we get a really broad range of people who come to the workshop. I feel like there's really something for anyone at our workshop. And they're primarily promoted through word of mouth. So friends talking to friends, their family members, and we do get a lot of couples. We also get a lot of people who are recently single, like maybe just out of a divorce. We're more and more getting more young people, so people in their 20s who are just curious and wanting to learn about these topics and learn how to have really healthy, happy, fulfilling relationships. We get people who are single and happily single and just wanting to learn more about themselves and their lives. People from all different backgrounds and sexual orientations and different lifestyle choices. So I think it's just kind of a microcosm of the society at large, really.
Well, I think that's great because, you know, that you're really encompassing everyone.
Yeah.
On every level, you know, you guys are really allowing everyone to partake, you know, no matter what they follow or believe in. I do want to ask this question just for our listeners. One of the things that you guys do have, you know, listed on your website was intimacy. You know, I'm sure that there are some individuals out there that are curious. Do you have any classes or lectures or anything along the lines of physical intimacy and developing that?
Well, so it's interesting. I think when you're using the word intimacy in that sentence, you're referring to sexuality. Is that
correct?
Correct? Okay. Yeah, that's something that comes up in our workshops a lot is, you know, what's the definition of intimacy? And not everybody defines it as sexuality. So we do definitely address sexuality in our workshop as well. I hold as being much broader than just sexuality. So we do things focused on intimacy. Like, for instance, we do an exercise at every single event or workshop we do called Hand on Heart. And it's a really beautiful ceremony, sort of like a Sufi dance, if you're familiar with those at all. We have an opportunity to move around the room in a circle and interact with everyone else who's in the room, primarily through eye gazing. And so just that experience of being in silence and looking into another human being's eyes for 15 seconds maybe, you're guided through the process. You don't have to think about it. So you're just there being present with another human being can be incredibly intimate for some people. And so that's one way we introduce a concept of intimacy that isn't necessarily sexual, isn't physical, but a lot of what we're doing, like I said, is it's like a laboratory. So people come and experience things, and then they decide, was that an intimate experience? Was that a sexual experience? Like, what did it mean for them? And we do definitely explicitly about sexuality as well.
Awesome. I wanted to ask that question because I know that there's people out there that would be curious about that specific aspect. you know,
absolutely.
All of those things. Let's talk about events because I did see that you guys do host some events. Is there anything that is coming up that people should be aware about? And what type of events do you guys offer?
Yeah, there's definitely workshops coming up. Thanks for asking. Now, do you want to hear primarily about things in the Michigan area? That's where you're based, right?
Well, we are here based in Michigan, but, you know, we do have listeners from all over. So it's entirely up to you.
Okay. Well, great. I'll talk mostly about the Michigan ones, but then, like I said, our website, hai.org, is a great resource, and all of the worldwide events can be found on there, and you can actually register for events right online. So, and I know in Michigan we have what we call mini workshops. There are short 2-hour free workshops, and they happen really regularly every couple weeks, either in Ann Arbor or in like a Detroit suburb, kind of different places, Southfield, I think there's a lot of them. And those typically happen on a Saturday night, like from 7:30 to 9:30. And I don't have all of those dates right in front of me, but they'll be listed on the website, like I said. And then we have a one-day workshop coming up in Livonia, Michigan, so sort of near Detroit, on Sunday, October 12th. And that's called Pathways to Intimacy. And it takes place at a hotel in like a ballroom. And it's a really great introduction to the kinds of things we do at our weekend workshop. There's exercises you do one-on-one with one other person to share on a certain topic, to have a chance to get to know someone a little bit better. You'll have experiences in small groups of approximately 4 to 5 people, where again, you're guided through an experience together. And we'll start with that opening ceremony I was describing, where you have a chance to eye gaze with everyone else in the room and connect that way in silence. And I'll actually be leading that workshop. And it's a lot of fun. People get a lot of value out of it. We talk about active listening, if you're familiar with that communication tool. It's a way to learn to listen to someone else without having to respond or fix or argue or defend, where you learn to be totally available and present to hear another person. And we've found that that is really one of the best gifts you can give someone, just to listen. And it sounds simple, and it can take a lot of practice to get good at, and it can transform relationships. And I don't mean just romantic relationships, but with your coworkers, with your family, with your kids. It's been phenomenal how it's changed my life. So that's a big tool that's presented at that one-day workshop. And then we have coming up in Michigan a weekend workshop, November 7th through 9th, and that takes place near Kalamazoo. It's a residential workshop, so you stay at the site Friday night through Sunday evening, and all your meals are provided, and it's a beautiful time of year to go because all the leaves will be changed, probably done changing by then, but there might be some color. And it's in a camp, sort of like a campground. There's nice places you can sleep, though, and go out walking on the trails and just be immersed in this experience of learning and growing and exploring these topics. And that one is called Love is a Miracle.
Awesome. I think it's interesting, something that you mentioned about one of the workshops, that one of the things that you guys do is actually helps all kinds of different forms of relationships, you know, work and friends and family and so forth. So you guys actually cover relationships in an entirety. You guys can actually help individuals work on all different levels of relationships in their lives.
Yes. Absolutely. And really what it starts with is your relationship with yourself. And the more you transform your relationship with yourself, there's like this trickle effect that it affects all areas of your life. It's very powerful.
I'm just curious if you've had anybody who's been involved in your workshops that maybe has gone through trauma or, you know, grief or anything along those lines, because, you know, that's once again kind of working with relationships, but also kind of coming back to yourself. Have you guys ever worked with anyone on that level?
We have, yeah. We do get, it's not uncommon for us to have people in our workshops who are grieving and could be for a variety of different reasons. And we welcome all emotion, all experiences people are having into our workshop. And one of the beautiful things about our workshops is that people are completely at choice in how they participate. We stress that over and over again. So we might set up an exercise, an experience for people to do and invite people to do it, but then the participants of the workshop are completely at choice about how to engage in that, how to experience it. And so if someone's in an experience of grief at that time and crying, we give them the space to express that, and they don't have to stuff it so that they can come participate in what everyone else is doing. And we do a lot around allowing emotions and allowing the expression of emotions. I mean, we'll have people who haven't cried in years cry for the first time in our workshops, and because they feel safe and they feel welcome to do that. And we really try to stress that it's okay. You know, like men crying, it's not a sign of weakness. I actually think it's a sign of strength for anyone to be able to be present with themselves and their emotions and to express them in a healthy way. And our workshops are a great place to do that because you're supported. We have a team of volunteers at the workshop, so that all the participants have to do is focus on themselves, whatever they're experiencing, and participate in the workshop to the level that they want to. And we have phenomenal facilitators who lead the workshops and then are also available to meet one-on-one with participants. So we sometimes do one-on-one processing of grief. And a lot of it's really around coaching the person to be present with themselves and to allow themselves to feel the feelings. Grief is such a, it's an intense process, and it's not linear. You know, there's different stages of grief, but it's not like you go through one, like you go through the anger stage and then you're done. Anger can come back. It all just kind of weaves together. And what I believe is that the real process of grief is about allowing it and allowing whatever feelings are there to move through you. And it's through feeling them and expressing them that eventually with time, the healing happens and you spend less and less time in grief. But it's people who don't allow themselves to feel it, who repress it or try to cover it up using drugs or alcohol or something, that I think it's more challenging for, because it's still living inside of them until they allow the expression.
Well, it sounds like you guys actually help people on all levels, and I think that's amazing. And just listening to the workshops and the events that you guys do and allowing all these different people to come together on different levels, I'm sure you guys raise some amazing energy.
Yeah.
But
Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I'm sure that everybody kind of comes away with something, you know, on some level, being in such a mixed group.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, even our two-hour workshops we do, people come away with something. These workshops have been crafted so beautifully and done so many times now that we really get to the core quickly and dive in. And I think anyone who's willing to be open, willing to look at themselves and wanting to learn and grow, they get something from it. And those are the people that are drawn to these workshops. You asked earlier about trauma too, and I did want to address that, and it feels like a more sensitive one. But I think because our workshops are about sexuality, they do tend to draw people who have had a history of sexual abuse. Or sometimes there's other types of trauma too. That seems to be the more common one though. And like I said, I think because that's the theme of our workshop. And again, I have seen over and over again the healing power of love, basically. I mean, people are accepted the way they are. They're given a safe place to express their experiences, and they're treated with love and reverence and respect and given the tools to start healing. And it's not a replacement for therapy. I mean, I think there's certainly issues or experiences people have that they're really best served by one-on-one therapy in addition to these workshops. But these workshops, people have had phenomenal growth and healing. We teach a lot about boundaries. And that's something, especially for people who have an abuse history, is important to learn to claim their no and to know that it will be respected in our workshop and to start building that self-confidence. And, when I first did the workshop, I did not trust men at all, a lot, because of previous experiences I'd had. And through participating in these workshops and hearing men share really vulnerably and intimately about their fears and their insecurities and how hard it is to ask a woman out on a date, I learned to see men in a totally different way. And I met so many men that were respectful and felt safe to me and did honor me for who I was, that it healed my whole relationship with men and all my judgments around men, those stereotype men, I realized weren't true. And so that was profound for me. And I think also, especially for people with histories of trauma.
Well, I'm glad you addressed that question. And, I'm sure that there may be somebody out there that is listening or will listen to this show that maybe has a history of trauma on some level. And, HI or HAI Global might actually be a place for you to connect and feel like you can resolve that in some way. So I'm definitely glad that you came back to that question and answered it. I greatly appreciate it. Now, you talk about facilitators and volunteers. How do you become a volunteer or a facilitator? What does that entail?
Well, once you've participated in a few workshops, the requirement is, like I said, we have 9 different weekend workshops, and they go pretty much sequentially. Once you've participated through the first 4, then you're eligible to become a volunteer and come attend the workshops to support the participants who are at the workshop. So we might have 40 participants at the workshop and 10 to 15 volunteers there, just doing all the little logistical things like bringing the food out when it's time to eat or running the music board and the mics, various different tasks, but then really their primary role there is to be available to support the participants. So you get sort of like a mentor, somebody that you can go to if you have any questions, or really any of the volunteers are available to anybody. So there's a training process once you want to become a volunteer, and then they get certified as, we call them assistants or team members. And they get certified through a training process. And then we do ongoing trainings every year, so people are kept current on the topics and the workshops. And we do trainings around how to support the participants, practice the active listening technique. And then the facilitator training program is pretty intense. And like I said, I've been training for 3 years, and it's typically initiated by somebody like I just really felt like this was my calling. Like, this is my life's passion. I'm committed to increasing love in the world. And one of our little taglines for the Human Awareness Institute is replacing ignorance and fear with awareness and love. And I love how simple it is and how it just cuts through all issues, right? Like, whether we're talking about poverty or racism or sexual abuse or sexuality, replacing ignorance and fear with awareness and love feels to me like the way to go. So that's how I'm living my life, is with that purpose. And I've done a lot of different types of personal growth, and this organization has been the most powerful and profound to me, and it feels like my calling. So I went to the group of facilitators and said, I want to do what you're doing. Will you train me? And there was a whole interview process and application process, and now I've been working with them sometimes one-on-one, sometimes as a group, and then now I'm at the stage, I've been doing it so long, I go to workshops as a third facilitator, and I lead portions of the workshop, and then they give me feedback, and just keep growing and learning, and eventually I'll have it all down well enough. It's a lot of content to learn, like 12 different full weekends worth of content. So eventually, when I have it all down, then I will be certified as another facilitator.
Awesome. I think that's great. It seems you're... Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think it's really phenomenal that they take the time and care to train leaders so thoroughly, because it's a really sensitive thing that we're teaching, and it's important to do it the way it's been done for so long, because it works that way. It's not just like applying for a job and stepping into it.
Well, I think that's a good point, and you actually kind of took my question from me, but that's okay. I'm glad that you made that point. You know, you guys seem very thorough, and I think that, you know, when you are trying to help people and relate to them and help them through different stages of their life, whether it is, you know, loving themselves or working better with partnerships or, you know, getting along with the coworkers better or, you know, with the family and the friends and so forth, whatever level of love that you need to work with and in relationships, you guys really are thorough in trying to help and support others. And I think that's beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
One of the things I did want you to talk about was you guys seem to be a donation-based organization.
Well, we are a nonprofit, and we do a lot of fundraisers, and we do collect donations, and people pay to attend the workshop. So it's not completely donation-based.
Okay. And if somebody wants to donate, what would that entail? And is there any perks to donating or anything along those lines?
You know, we do have a membership program, and I believe people can access it through the website and make donations that way. And there are different perks for different levels of membership. And I do not know all of those specific details. That's not an area of my expertise, but I would imagine that they can find all of that information on the website, and donations are tax deductible, which is nice. We also have a scholarship fund, and this is a way a lot of people donate to the organization, again, tax deductible, is to donate money specifically for people to attend a workshop. And you could donate to a specific person if you wanted, or just to the fund in general. We do not turn anybody away. So if there's somebody who wants to attend a workshop but can't afford it, we supplement from our scholarship fund. And so that's where a lot of our fundraising goes to, is funding that scholarship fund. And I think that makes a huge difference, because we want this to be accessible to anybody.
Yes, and I totally agree. You know, not everybody economically can afford to do, you know, workshops and classes and so forth. So the fact that you guys are providing a means to be able to help those individuals still seek, you know, your guys' guidance in a way and learn and grow, I think that's great. And that's definitely something that you don't hear that often, is that people do you know, like a scholarship fund or something. I actually think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
It's something different.
It is.
You know, it's hard when you want to take a class on something or you want to take a workshop on something and you really are interested in the subject, but you just can't afford it. You can't put it in your budget. So I think that's awesome. And kudos to the people out there that do donate for that specific purpose, because you're allowing others to participate, and you're definitely helping other people too.
Absolutely.
Well, I see that we're starting to get a little bit short on time. We have about 20 minutes left. What else would you like to talk about with HAI? What are some other things that maybe we didn't get to cover?
You know, we haven't talked a whole lot about the workshops available for couples, which, or even the benefits that couples get, because I think we've touched on how there's something for everyone, and how if you come to a workshop, you can learn a lot about yourself and how that can impact your relationships. But I haven't really touched on couples, and we do get a lot of couples who come to our workshops. And then I did mention we have workshops designed specifically for couples. And so much of the themes around love, intimacy, and sexuality show up in people who are in couples or in relationships. And we've had experiences where people who have been married for 20 years have come to our workshop and said that they've never been more in love than after doing the workshop, or that they see their partner in a new way, that they've shared honestly and vulnerably things with the other person that they've never spoken before. And I think that's amazing that you could be with someone for so long and that there's still new things to learn and explore about one another. And it can be a sort of like a refresher for people who have been in relationship for a long time, kind of renew that spark and deepen the connection and love and take it to a new place. And a lot of it through learning new communication techniques, like that active listening technique, learning to really listen to one another, and learning to connect in intimate ways that aren't necessarily sexual. So I think for a lot of us, and this is true, I mean, even if you're not in like a primary partnership, but you're dating or even just with friends, a lot of us, the only physical connection or intimate connection we get is sexuality. And when you open up that container to there being so many other ways to create connection and intimacy, like sitting in silence and looking into another person's eyes, or sharing a long hug where you take a couple breaths and you're just present with the other person, it can open up the whole relationship. And so especially couples, it can give them a whole new range of tools to use in their relationship that they hadn't previously used. And I've seen couples come, the extreme is I had somebody come to a workshop on their first date. And I thought that was so great that they just went for it. And what an amazing way to start a new relationship than getting to know one another on a deep personal level and learning tools for having healthy communication and real authentic connection. So there's so much there, so much richness. And some people who come to a workshop with a partner, they choose to do everything together, like share every experience. And some people decide to kind of do some together, do some individually, or, you know, anything in between, really, because there's things to be learned from new people and there's things to be learned connecting with your partner.
Do you know if the couple who came there on their first date, did it work out for them?
I know they stayed together for a while. I've lost track at this point. I don't know if they're still together or not. But, yeah, the experience went well. And I know they did maintain a relationship out of it.
Wow. I think that's great.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
I mean, I have heard of couples going to see a psychic on the first date, but a love workshop, I think that's pretty cool. pretty cool, you know, especially when you're getting to know each other on, like you said, a very deep level. You know, it's not just the 20 questions of where do you live, where do you work, what
exactly.
are your goals? Do you smoke, drink, or wear pink underwear? You know, the basics.
Yes. Well, and we've done singles events too, like, 3 to 4 hour long evening events that are targeted just at singles. And it's the same thing. They're fun. They're like a mixer where you get to know different people. But then we actually take people through interactions where we have them pair up and then take them through a series of experiences. And it's the same thing. It's let's relate on a real level. You know, drop the facade, drop the being the person you think is going to be attractive to someone else. Drop, you know, hiding the truth of who you are and just really be you. And there's definitely been people who have made connections out of that. And I think that that's one of the core things beneath intimacy, real, true intimacy. I think of the word as into me you see, intimacy, where we risk, it can feel like a risk a lot of times, we risk to let our true selves be seen, but that's where genuine connection happens, two people being real and authentic. And being willing to relate insides to insides. Like, I think a lot of times we walk around the world and we interact with other people, and it seems like everyone else has it all together. You know, they have like the perfect smile, they're happy, they say everything's fine, they look, their outside package looks like everything's great. They don't have any insecurities, they don't have any fears, life is good. And we compare that to what we're feeling on the inside, which is a pretty universal, all the human emotions of fear, insecurity, loneliness, mixed with the good stuff, you know, the moments of happiness and fulfillment. But we especially compare our challenges, like any time we feel not good enough or feel nervous, we compare that to the other people looking like they have it all together. And it can be challenging to build relationships. But when both people are willing to relate from that real place inside what's really happening, that genuineness, then beautiful intimacy can occur and genuine connections can start happening. And I try to more and more live my life from that place of authentic vulnerability. And it's beautiful watching what happens. And sometimes it takes people by surprise, you know. Sometimes people ask me, how are you doing? And when I start to give them a real answer, I can tell they were just expecting me to say, great. But then sometimes beautiful conversations occur out of that.
Well, I think that most people tend to have that level of insecurity or fear, and that's why they have such a hard time being real. You know, we kind of have that expectation of you have to look good on the outside, no matter what you're feeling on the inside. So I think that you guys are doing a really wonderful job creating that vulnerability of being able to tell the truth, you know, be honest with yourself and your partner. You know, don't say you're okay when you're not. You don't give an honest answer.
Exactly.
And I do know that, you know, some relationships are built on that. You know, even when you're not okay, maybe it's not the right time to talk about it or you know, maybe it's an experience that you should just keep to yourself. So it sounds like you guys really work through partnerships and relationships very well on a lot of different levels, you know, not being just intimate physically, but also being intimate spiritually, kind of creating a link.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And different people experience it differently, but that's there. That's available.
One of the things I was going to ask, you know, you were talking about couples coming to you. I know that with the way, you know, society is at this point in time, our divorce rate has gone up. Do you guys work with couples who are close to, you know, getting a divorce?
Yes, we do. I mean, we work with people in all stages of their life. So there have been people who have come to our workshop hoping that it would save their relationship. And sometimes it does, or sometimes it helps people realize that the most loving choice, the best choice, is to actually separate. And so there have been people who have chosen to divorce after the workshop. We've also gotten people who came to the workshop soon after being divorced. And I have learned about a whole new way to divorce since being involved in this organization. I've learned that it can be done in a respectful, loving way, and in a way that takes everyone into consideration, especially children, if there's children, and that sometimes divorce is actually the best outcome of a relationship. You know, I used to believe that divorce meant failure. I don't believe that anymore. I think that sometimes it really is what's right for the people involved. And so we don't promote any one viewpoint, really. What we want to do is support each individual in finding the answer that's right for them.
Well, I think that's good.
Yeah.
Because, you know, one person might be able to work it out and another person's going, it's not happening.
Exactly.
So to be able to, you know, help people on all levels, that's great, especially because, you know, every relationship's different. Every person is different and unique in their own way. And you guys are really supporting that. You guys are really supporting that on a high level. You know, really encompassing that people are very unique, very independent, very different, and that you can accept them in any shape, form, or fashion they come to you, you know, in trying to help them build, you know, a better relationship with themselves and others. So I think that's very beautiful work.
Yeah, you got it. It is. It can be extremely profound.
Well, one of the things that I was going to ask you before we run out of time, what advice would you give to our listeners who are maybe interested in looking into HAI or would like to participate in a workshop or an event or would like to donate and so forth? You know, anybody out there that is interested in maybe getting involved but are a little bit scared or, you know, they're not quite sure if it's right for them. You know, what advice can you give to them to kind of welcome them to the group, so to speak?
Yeah, well, first off, I would say to check out our website. It's full of great information and there's some videos on there that you can watch. And that will really give you a sense of the organization and of the people who are involved with the organization. And then I always encourage people to listen to that inner voice, that if you can go beneath the fear, beneath the, if there's any insecurities or doubts, to listen to down deep what your heart or your soul, whatever word you want to use, is telling you is right for you. And to listen to that. And for some people, it's that this workshop isn't a good fit. And for other people, it's like a yearning, a sense of being drawn to this. And if you have any of that in you, I encourage you to reach out, to explore a little bit more, to find out where there's a mini workshop happening near you. That's the best way to get an experience. And it's risk-free because it's free. It's pretty short. You can just show up and check it out and you're always at choice. If you go and don't like it, just leave. And I sort of feel like there's nothing to lose there. And you can also reach out to connect with people. We have a page on Facebook, Human Awareness Institute. So you can find us on Facebook and start chatting with people that way, creating one-on-one connections. And you're always welcome to contact me. And I'm happy to exchange emails or have phone calls, answer questions, and just connect and share more of my personal journey too. So I encourage you to check it out.
Now, if anybody would like to contact you personally, how can they do that?
The best way to reach me is by email, and then we can set up a time to chat. Or I do Skype sessions with people too. It's always nice to have that face-to-face. I really enjoy that. It seems like a nicer quality of connection. So I'm available to that too. And the best way to reach me is email. And my email address, I'll say it first and then spell it. It's pauline.valvo@hi.org. So it's pauline.valvo@hai.org.
Well,
thanks for
awesome.
Asking. And I would love to hear from anybody.
Well, is there anything else that you would like to leave us with or mention about the organization before, you know, while I have you here?
Yeah, well, I would love to leave with a really simple technique that people can start using in their lives. And I have found it to be so effective and so simple, and it can help people shift from, just can help you live in more of a energy of love and gratitude, and it just feels good. And that is sharing appreciation. And I often, when I work with couples, give them this as their first, like, assignment, their first homework until we meet again. And it is to give one another 5 appreciations a day. And I don't mean like, oh, that's a pretty shirt. Which, if that's all you can come up with, that's a great place to start. And the deeper and more heartfelt the appreciation you can share, the more beautiful it is for the other person to receive. So I might say something to my partner like, when you interrupted me from typing that email this morning and made sure we took a moment to look in each other's eyes and have a kiss before you left, that felt so sweet and connecting to me. Thank you so much for doing that. So anything like that that can be communicated as an acknowledgement of the other person, you know, like, I loved the way you responded to our son's question earlier when that was so challenging and you came up with a beautiful response. Thank you. All of those, there's so many opportunities in a day to notice something that someone else does and to acknowledge them. And I do this with my kids too. I try to give them 5 a day. And we often at dinner go around the table and share 1 appreciation each. And what happens when you're living your life from that place of looking for the appreciation, you start noticing them. And instead of noticing all the things that are annoying or frustrating, you start noticing all the beautiful things. So it's really a gift to you if you want to take on this challenge of appreciating others, because it will, I guarantee, you will start living life differently. And then it's this beautiful gift to everyone else in your life to receive them. So if you want to try one new thing, I encourage you to practice sharing appreciation.
Well, thank you. I think that's a wonderful idea. And then for all of you listeners out there, you know, definitely give that a try and see how it works for you in any relationship that you have, whether it be with family, friends, coworkers, you know, if you teach students, children, so forth and so on. And, you know, we're very open-minded here at The Guide, so let us know how that works for you. And I'm sure Pauline would love to hear how that works for you as well. Definitely connect with her and let her know how that technique is working out. And I think that it's a wonderful technique because, like you said, it's allowing you to let go of all the negativity and pay more attention to all the good. And I think we lose focus once in a while as human beings on the good as opposed to the negative. You know, we all pay attention to the negative first when we should actually be valuing everybody around us on some level. So I think that was a wonderful technique to share, and I appreciate that. And I appreciate you being here with me today and allowing me to interview you. You're really awesome to talk to and wonderful to get to know.
No, thanks, Courtney. I've really enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you so much for being here, and I wish you the best of luck with HAI and HAI Global and everything that you do, and I look forward to connecting with you hopefully in the future.
I would love that. Thank you.
And thank you. If you've been listening, you've been listening with In Touch Interviews with HAI Global and their organization. I definitely recommend you go to the website and check it out. It's hai.org. And you can find all of their information on workshops, their events, how to donate, how you can contact them, you know, their mission statement, their program, everything along those lines. There's so much wonderful information on there to take a look at and definitely dive into. And I highly recommend that, you know, put your fear aside. If you want to work on a better you and a better relationship, definitely contact the organization and become involved. If you are ever interested in being on Body, Mind, Spirit Radio or being interviewed, you're more than welcome to contact me at radio@bodymindspiritguide.com. That's radio@bodymindspiritguide.com. Just feel free to email me. Or you can actually call me at the office. I'm always available, and you can definitely connect with me that way. The number is 734-513-6137. And I would love to interview you, whether you have a product or a business or an organization. I would love to connect with you. I have wonderful time meeting new people and working with them and helping you guys get your name out there. So once again, I'd like to thank Pauline for being here today. She was a wonderful guest and gave us a lot of wonderful information. And I want to wish everybody a happy Monday. Enjoy, stay warm, and I will speak to you guys next time. Thank you. Bye-bye.